There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
How are you now? Broadcasting from the studios of Sydney in, where are we? Cammeraygal country. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast, Season 8, Episode 11. Remember, if it's talked about enough, it's a thing. This show is brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Go to amfex.com for access to over 3,000 mutual funds anywhere around the world. It's a really good website. Go and check it out today. Get a login. And help keep this podcast going. Thank you for your help. I remind all the advice contained in this podcast is general in nature. Please speak to an advisor about your needs. Speaking of which, that is me. I am James Whelan, investment manager at VFS Group. I'm a white male, aged 42. I'm wearing sneakers from Nike. Nike reported this morning. I'm wearing beige golf pants and a blue ping golf sweater, as if maybe some stage later on I'm going to be playing golf because it's the end of the financial year. I'm also joined by another advisor over at HLM Investments, Heath Moss. Heath, how are you now? What are you wearing?
Good morning, mate. I'm following on from last week's episode, I'm all Gazmanned up. I've got a Gazman polo on. I've got Gazman shorts on because the heaters are on in the house and it's like a sauna, so I get hot.
Yep.
So, yeah.
We're really gunning for that sponsorship, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We are. And if you're out there, Mr. Gazman, hit us up.
I think it's Dr. Gazman. I think that's it.
It's an Australian company, at least. So,
hey, is that really? Okay, yeah, I feel good with that.
Yeah, I looked a long time ago when I first started shopping there, and yeah, it was. I saw it was an Australian company. So okay. Yeah.
Ethically sourced materials, I think as well. I don't know. I just made that
up.
This episode is being recorded in Sydney. It is the 30th of June, 2023. It's 10:37 in Milsons Point, Australian Eastern Standard Time. It's freezing outside. Welcome to winter.
Yep.
We've gone past the shortest day of the year. Now, there's a few little bits and pieces just to go over to begin with. Oh, coming up in the show, Heath, you've got the agenda. I don't. I'm sorry, I've been slack. What is it? What have we got coming up? It's going to be quick.
We chat about some strength in the US economy.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit similar in the Australian economy as well.
Yeah.
And a little bit of chat on the advanced chip semiconductors and the potential expansion of bans across that sector as well.
Excellent. No worries at all. Now, a few things that we didn't get onto just on the housekeeping side of things, which is great. Remember a few weeks ago I said I was going to be competing in the Nationals for jump rope?
Yep.
In the plus 40 category. Well, I've had it here to say that I was going to do something. I'm pleased that with the 6 weeks of training that I did, I managed to win both of my events. I'm now
congratulations.
A dual gold medalist. Gold medalist, I'm long gold.
Fantastic.
And ready to take, if I can get one more qualification, one more win, I can qualify for potentially to go to Japan in 2025.
That will be sensational.
In Kawasaki, which is going to be great. Anyway, I did that. I'm proud. Thank you, everyone, for the support that you gave me going into that. It really does help. Now, the second one, now, I don't know if you know about this, but I'm just going to bring it up here because a friend of mine is organizing a breast cancer charity dinner. It's in Pocolbin, and I've got to talk about it. It's this wine country glamping thing that she's built and is building, and it is fantastic up there. And they do an annual fundraiser. So this is the second year that they've done it. Last year was a decent start. This one is going to be bigger. Saturday the 28th of October, 2023. Get a ticket. I think they're about $200 each. Early bird tickets finish probably in a few hours of you listening to this podcast by the time it gets out. So get in right now if you can. $200 a pop, get up to Pocolbin and have a great night. I'm going to be there. Bells on. It's going to be a sensational night and you get to help out a really good cause working with the McGrath Foundation. So, which
fantastic
is,
cause.
Yeah, it's a fantastic cause. So, yeah, she's really good. We've shifted or most, I was going to say probably about half the tickets. So it's pretty good for 4 months out. We just want to get the rest of it. So Pocolbin, a real destination place, top of the wine country over in the Hunter Valley. Really keen to get out there. Anyway, that's that. So if you want any more, check out Beltree, B-E-L-T-R-E-E, and the annual event. It's on their website. You can get tickets through that. any way that you like, or just send me a message and I'll be able to help you out, get this thing done. I love these sorts of worthy causes, and I love it, that just the heart and soul that she's putting into this thing. It's fantastic. And hello if you're listening out there too. Big supporter, big fan. Now, Heath, I wrote a note at the beginning of this, beginning of the week, saying that I thought that maybe some there was some mixed messages coming out on the back of my we're in, already in a recession stage. Interesting that the ANZ, the same people who talked about how bad credit card spending was going down 20% year on year for consumer discretionary, also the head of the economics team over at the ANZ saying that, well, you know, households are actually robust and they've still got lots of savings. It's similar to what you said. It's just like one of these things has got to be wrong.
Yeah,
maybe, and I quipped that credit card spending is down 20% year on year because everyone's credit card is maxed out, like me.
Well, good reason you're adding another level to your house. So
yes, I know. Yeah, can't put that on the Amex.
No. But, yeah, it squeezes everything else. So, yeah, I mean, I think it all comes out. We saw retail figures come out this week in Oz and for May, and they were quite a bit stronger than expected, up 0.7% versus the 0.1% everyone was expecting. And guess what was the driver? The driver was eating out. Cafes, restaurants were the big driver. They were up 1.4% for the month. So people are still going out there, having their dinners, and while they're at dinner, complaining about how much everything costs.
Restaurants full of people complaining about the economy and Philip Lowe. Philip Lowe can't eat. He's not going to be able to eat out.
No. It's cardboard and sauce for Philip Lowe. So
he's going to get bread rolls. I was just thinking for his personal safety situation. Oh, okay. And people are stuffing their face full of, you know, a nice basket press. I had to think of the first South Australian wine that I could think of. You know, not a nice quality basket press. You know, mouthful of very expensive pasta, yelling at Phil Lowe about how bad mortgage rates are.
I know. You can't sit there and complain about high prices when you keep on paying those higher prices.
So why were card numbers down then, Heath? Answer the question.
I can't answer that question. I think, maybe because prices are actually starting to come down, so therefore we aren't paying as much. We saw during the week monthly CPI came in very soft. Headline came in at 5.6 versus the 6.1
expected. Yeah, wasn't that
relief? True mean was still decent at 6.1, but that was down point from 6.7. So that's still coming down.
Yeah,
and so the market of the actual the 200 rallied really strongly on the back of that on I think it was Wednesday.
It just absolutely cranked, and the Aussie dollar came off too, which really helped. I went unhedged on Monday,
and I think chance of a rate hike on Wednesday was around 30% in July, and then we got the retail figures out yesterday plus skilled job vacancies, which only fell 2%. We're still 89%. Above pre-COVID levels in terms of job vacancies. So, and retail figures were actually 20% ahead of pre-COVID figures as well. So there is still, just to cap that, the chance of a rate hike in July now is at 44%. So basically a 50-50 coin flip now. We are getting those mixed messages, and we've been seeing that for 6 months in the US where it's been really a real set of mixed messages over there as well in terms of, you know, parts of the economy are really, really soft and coming in, whereas other parts like the consumer remain robust and okay. And we're seeing similar things here. And but like I said last week, I mean, we've got $270 billion worth of savings built up from the COVID period still that aren't really being drawn down. So households, you know, we're still fully employed. Wages are still going up decently. It's, you know, households are okay. There are obviously sections that are really hurting and we really do sympathize with them. But overall, we are still okay.
As they say, just be aware of averages overall. I like this one. I explained it to the girls the other week. It was like, if you put one hand in the oven and one hand in the freezer, then on average you're okay.
No, you're not. No. I get that. And if the arse were to fall out of the bottom end, then I think things would really, really start hurting. But like I said, Paul, I think that households overall are strong enough to withstand a slowdown and not enter a recession here in Australia. So, yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. And the US?
US, very much the same. We saw yields fly last night. The 10 years were, they were up 13 basis points and the 2 years were up 15 basis points. The 2 years are knocking on the door of their recent highs of around 5%. They're at 4.86% now. And that was on the back of jobless claims coming in a lot softer than expected. So you had both initial and continuing, both softer than expected. And it's important to distinguish the difference between those. The initial claims refers to people that are looking to make a claim, maybe download the application, et cetera, et cetera. Continuing are people who actually have submitted, been approved, and getting some sort of benefit. So those continuing claims are the ones I generally pay close attention to, and they came off and were off substantially. So there's a bit of strength there. And also then you had durable goods earlier in the week, which were stronger than expected, and new home sales were also stronger than expected during the week. So, like I said, again, even with mortgage rates, the 30-year mortgage rate at 7% in the US, people are still looking to buy homes.
Yeah. What else are you going to do?
True.
What's amazing to me is that after all this time that you've got, imagine if cracking, absolutely amazing news like that came out last year, what would have happened to the market?
Market would have dumped 2 or 3% easily.
Yeah. It would have been. We cannot expect any good news this week. It's just not the year for good news. And now, it just happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
The market actually seems to be acting rationally. It's something that I jokingly put on the chat that we share. I mean, the market hasn't been normal since 2007. So
No. Maybe. And funnily, you mentioned 2007, or during 2007, well, from 2003 to 2007, we had a period of rates rising quite aggressively. I think the cash rate got to about 6.5%, 7% here in Australia. But we also had markets do extremely well. We had a few years, 2 or 3 years, where the S&P did 20% plus. Earnings went up. And it all sort of was that Goldilocks scenario. And obviously, we know how that all ended because of excess credit in the system. And maybe that's what we're leading up to again this time. Maybe we've got a few years of Goldilocks scenario where, you know, finally, though, you know, we've had a bit of a earnings recession in the US, that's expected to last another quarter. Maybe after that, we start to see earnings lift again. The economy remains resilient. My only concern is the multiple expansion that's already happened. I mean, US forward earnings is around close to 19 times now, which with a cash rate of around 5%, I'm not very comfortable with it at all.
Okay.
It doesn't sit well with me.
There is just something that's there. I mean, Mike Wilson keeps on banging on saying that we haven't seen the last of the earnings recession yet in the States. Mike Wilson, head of global equity strategy at Morgan Stanley. I don't know what. Anyway, he's the top guy when it comes to the investment thematic at Morgan Stanley, and he thinks it's not there. He's been extraordinarily bearish the last couple of months. Has been proved incorrect. So which is rare because they have managed to pick the eyes out of this thing beautifully since COVID hit, and now he's just a little bit wrong on this stuff. So.
Yep. I still think we're going to see a recession in the US. It may be just pushed out. I've got the timing wrong. I thought we'd be in one now. The US clearly isn't in a recession now. But I mean, maybe later in the year, that commercial real estate scenario still hangs over our head. And the Fed actually talked about that and said it was going to monitor that quite closely. So that's on the radar. But I mean, you know, the market has been well aware of that for some time now. So whether, you know, things have been put in place to stop catastrophe, I'm not sure. But there's a lot of headwinds. I mean, if China picks up later in the year again and the EU sort of comes out of its slump, then, you know, things could be rosy again. But I'm still leaning towards the US recession later in the year or maybe early next year.
I'm in that direction as well, just purely based on the fact that, I mean, if you just want to be as simple as you possibly can be.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yield curve can't be that inverted without something happening.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's true. It's extraordinary. And, you know, maybe I just haven't read it or gone into it enough. If anyone has got a good note or a good reasoning by anyone, I don't care how crazy these people are. I'll read the craziest person you got. Okay. I might mm-hmm. need a beer or two, but okay. I want to see a note that actually explains or somehow explains how the yield curve can be where it is in the States and for it to not signal that there's a recession ahead.
My only thinking is COVID just totally stuffed a lot of data and a gear up, you know, stop starting an economy and, you know, the things that did with demand and supply, et cetera. That's my only explanation as to why we're in the scenario we're in now.
Okay. Well, anyway, look, we'll move on from that. Like I said, it's going to be a quickie, mate. Now, you want to talk about chippies?
Yeah, yeah. We had at the start of the week, we had talk about Biden administration maybe expanding the ban on advanced chips in the US. Now, I was reading an article yesterday on it. Basically, they're saying the Chinese companies are stockpiling US chips at the moment, so bringing forward demand on the basis that they expect these bans to come in and be tightened. Now, you know, it's so much so ByteDance themselves has ordered as many chips this year so far than all of China did in 2022.
Just the TikTok people.
Yep, just the TikTok people. Now, China isn't a huge part of like NVIDIA's, and I talk NVIDIA because NVIDIA are 84% of the GPU market. So when you're talking these sort of chips, you're really talking about NVIDIA. And NVIDIA said last year when Biden still sort of addressed these bans, which got delayed until September this year, so it sort of works out why you saw NVIDIA's revenues beat so big in Q1 and their forecast revenues for Q2 were so large as well because these bans were pushed back. So Q2 and Q3 this year should still be really, really good for them. Those bans come into effect and are expanded, then Q4 could be a real rough one for NVIDIA. We're not sure. But they said, you know, it would cost them about $400 million for the year for 2023 if these bans came in. So not huge. But the bring forward side of things, because at the moment the bans, Biden, the proposed bans are any chip 14 nanometers or nanometers? Yeah, nanometers.
You're talking the wrong guy on this stuff now.
Yeah. you're banned from exporting these chips to China. Okay. Now, this doesn't stop them to be being sold in China. You could still export them to, say, India, and then, you know, the third party sends them onto China. What that does is it restricts volume and it pushes prices up. Which, you know, we've already seen happen in China. Mm. But where they could expand it is just outright ban the sales of these chips, these AI chips, the A100 and the H800, because they're 7 nanometers and 4 nanometers respectively. So if they outright ban the sale of these chips to China, then that will have a material impact on NVIDIA. And their sales. So, and then that could be the catalyst for a sell down. We've seen NVIDIA, it hit highs of around 440 a share this week, or last week, sorry, and it's come down to about 408, so down about 7%, but still up about 3.5 times from its lows in October last year.
God, I can't believe that. I was going through old emails the other day. I was looking for, you know when you're looking for an old email in Outlook, which is the worst possible place to try and find old emails,
yeah.
And you can see stuff where I had clients in NVIDIA and you know, good, follow that Pelosi thing, she sold, it was just that, if it just what am I doing trying to get in and out on this thing? Good profit, great healthy profit, everyone really happy with the whole thing. And then there's just the whole rest of it that happened with this AI thing they kicked off.
Yeah. So, I mean,
just what are you doing sometimes? Anyway.
I mean, I'm not happy paying $400 for NVIDIA here.
Not buying it here.
No, not buying it here. I want exposure to AI.
Yeah.
And when the time comes, I'll be buying like the FANG ETF here in Australia. Or, you know, I'd be happy buying NVIDIA around $300. And that on the charts, that looks like a good place where they may come down to. And if these bans come in and they're really heavy, because the China, the Biden administration are all about trying to stop China's advancement and self-sufficiency in the advanced chip space. Because, you know, semiconductors are the new oil. That's where the war is being waged, and that's where, you know, the economies will be driven by AI and these semiconductors and everything they can do. So, I'll be looking at NVIDIA. I think around 300 on the charts looks good to me. Or something like a Snowflake. I think Snowflake and their services, their data services, will be really, really important moving forward. And they will benefit greatly from AI and stuff they can deliver with that. So, but not yet. Gotta sit on my hands for now.
Yeah, okay. Now, bits and pieces of some local news that's coming out. I had some other stuff that I was going to talk about and it's gone. Oh, yeah, it was just announced. I saw the announcement drop this morning that Hester has moved from Link, its administration, Link to Grow. I think that it's called Grow now, but Grow Super is a company very close. We're very close to this company. We actually seeded it.
Okay.
So from the day sitting down at Ryan's Bar with Josh, going through the wireframes, what the original app was going to be, chipping in a bit of money, shifting most of that to someone else to sold out, but still having a part ownership of the company. It's amazing to see a story like that where you've seeded something from start, helped go, and now they're the dominant player in the administration space.
That's a big get. A Hester are a massive.
It's about 50 mil. We were doing back of the envelope here. I think the last time the Grow was valued for the last little, I think they did the last little raise or something, it was about 120 mil.
Yep.
So you think about what that now values Grow at there, and you're going, that's why you seed little companies like that. I'm just saying, the thing on the top of my mind that happened, I was like, okay, that's an astoundingly good number. They are changing the way the administration works. I'm thinking that probably based on that, Link is probably going to lose more clients to Grow.
Yeah.
Maybe if you want to have a bit of short, I haven't even looked at a chart, but if you want to have a bit of
a short
on old Linky, maybe there's it's worth having a look.
Once Link spun out their the conveyancing software business, there wasn't
much. Texas, whatever it was called.
There wasn't much left in Link. They got a couple of takeover offers, and I wasn't sure, you know, why. they're dominant in the super fund sector. So I mean, whilst they lose Hester, I mean they still are quite dominant. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. Link hasn't been a stock I've looked at for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Also, I just remembered something else. I had something in my notes. Another good indication of the Australian economy and the consumer.
Here we go.
A bit of Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
And what she has done this week.
I love
that. We're going to sell 500,000 seats, bums on seats, to her concerts in February next year.
Yeah.
And there was demand. There was, you know, 2-3 times that demand for her.
You've said bid to cover?
Yeah. I'm calling it Swiftflation. If we can afford to spend, I think it was like...
You're going to talk yourself into decent. A circle here. You are going to talk yourself into a circle with this thing that you're doing, and the end is just like Phil Lowe comes around and slaps you in the face. Go on.
I know. If we can spend, I think anything for any decent seat, it was over $300 for a seat.
Yep.
Anything like, and that was still in the stands at the MCG or ANZ Stadium.
Yeah.
If you wanted the floor seats, I think they were $500-$600, something like that.
Yeah.
If we can still afford to fork that out for Tay-Tay, then I think the Australian consumer is doing okay.
The Australian consumer is doing okay at a time when they probably should. Well,
and
I don't know what to say about this. But
what will it do for inflation in February next year when she's here? And I've already seen the prices of those hotels and flights and stuff like that. The inflation for that, we're going to have to wipe that bit of data out of the series because it's going to cause a huge spike because some of the prices that have been quoted now for a hotel room or Airbnb and that are just ridiculous over in Melbourne and Sydney.
Wait.
So, yeah, thanks, Tay-Tay. You're just adding to the consumer's pain here.
I couldn't believe it. I was dropping the kids at school the other day, and this is after the Amex website crashed and everyone managed to get in tickets and all this sort of stuff happened with the pre-sales. And I was listening to, I hate breakfast radio, but I was listening to Small Z on 96.9 Nova. And this is me used to do community radio and I can't stand listening to it. Anyone who wants to know about my previous times with Blacktown, Fairfield and Holroyd Community Radio, SWR 99.9, you're joining James and Caroline. We're the goods, taking on drive time, 4 p.m. on Friday. Anyway, that was us. The listening to Smallsy on Nova 969, getting people to call in. Hey, you got your Taylor Swift? Yeah, I spent $9,000.
I know.
I'm sitting there just going, we're going to go. It's another 100 basis points, mate. It's another 100 basis points. We're not going to get out of this one alive, mate.
We need the Swift indicator or something like that.
God, there was a girl on TikTok who was talking about, it's just stop talking. You know, you just want to shove a bread roll in someone's mouth to just stop talking.
Yep.
And she was just like, Taylor Swift is going to get us out of this. Spending is just like sort of what you said, but just like just super bullish for this. It's just like you don't understand how bad that is. The signals that the bad guys are looking at are the signals that you're showing. And if they're saying that spending is still going to be there, they're not going to hesitate to continue to raise rates. Everyone, just play it cool, you know? It's cool, like when the boss is coming. You just don't work too hard, you know?
Check on your Spotify. You can listen to Tay-Tay at home.
I'll tell you what, I so wish that I can take the girl. They're not huge Tay-Tay fans, but, I mean, it's one of the rare opportunities you can go. Anyway, football, we said it was going to be a short one. What do you got? Yep. What's your tip? Hit me. You had a win last week. I had a win last week.
No. I missed out again. My Crows were better than expected. At halftime, they were down by about 5 goals, and I was looking good on my bet. And we came roaring back and even got the lead, but still lost by 2 points. And I think the line for us was I wanted Collingwood at the line, which was 18.5 points. So I lost that one. But this week,
no, I'm back in the boys.
I'm back in the Pies in at the line versus Gold Coast. Up in the Gold Coast, the line's only 6.5 points.
Yeah, it's not huge, is it?
No. I think the Pies will win by, you know, 3 to 5 goals up there. Even though Gold Coast are decent up there,
yeah,
I still think the Pies are just, yeah, I can't see Gold Coast taking them down. So that's my bet. It's about a $1.90, and I think the line's 6.5 points. So Pies at the line.
All right, I've got one. Now, I've had win after win after win. I got an absolute cracker last week. I can't remember what it was, but it was a massive outsider, and I had a with the start and ended up getting away with the win. So I was actually an underbidder on that one. Me, good old conservative Jimmy here, invest today. I think the Titans will be down at the Raiders, and I reckon, you know what, if you want to go Titans with the start, I think they're given about 3.5, whatever that is. That sounds like a weird number, go nuts on that sort of area. I think there's a really good chance that they'll just get away and just steal the whole meat pie. So I think the Titans away, they're not backing, and the Raiders have got one or two players missing. Papaligi, Dunahami. I like that there's a guy who plays league and his name is Papaligi. It's a bit like the guy who played for Collingwood with the black, they got the black and white vertical stripes and his name is Barcode.
Barcode? Don't you mean Varco?
Close enough.
It was Varco, not Barcode.
His name was Barcode. They'd say the Bruce McAvaney would say Barco, and I was just like, because they're black and white stripes. Anyway, good. So Papaligi's out. Papaligi.
Papaligi.
Anyway, not as good. The two of us on MasterChef, I know his name is actually two of us on MasterChef, and you shouldn't make fun of people's names, but I do. Every time I say that, it's the girls just love it. Anyway, so he's also a good player too, and I really like watching him play. Now, I think we're done.
Yep.
No more bids. All right, we're done. Run, one. Let's make some money. End of financial year. I hope it was good for you as it was for me.
Yeah.
Don't do too much. I'll tell you what, it's now 11:03 on Friday the 30th of the 6th. If you're trying to do something in the market now, I ASIC need to come and investigate you. It's the end of the financial year. Step away from the keyboard. Go and take a client out for lunch. You're done. It's over. Okay?
Go play some golf.
Go play some golf. Do something that's sensible. Make sure that everyone is good. Draw a line under it. Start again next week. First, well, you know, when the month starts. Okay? Well done, everyone. Congratulations. Thank you very much to Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Don't forget to get your tickets to the Bell Tree for their breast cancer charity night in October. Check them out, BELTREE. and they'll be able to help you out on that one. Okay. Thanks very much, Heath. Have yourself a good weekend.
Thank you. You too, and everyone else out there. Have a great weekend too.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.